Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hang on to your balls. It's time for the Horror Hangout Podcast.
Welcome to the Horror Hangout, the podcast where two bearded film fans watch the 50 best horror movies ever and then have a little chin wag. My name is Luke Condor with K, and I'm joined by my regular co-host, Mr. Ben Errington.
Ben Errington.
How's it going, man? Are you good?
Very good. How's ever you?
Pretty good.
Yeah. I like where you sit in the kitchen now that it's nighttime and you've got the light on. It like reflects.
Gives me a, does it give me like a nice like a halo effect or something?
Gives you a lovely halo. Yeah. You know, you look beautiful.
Thank you very much. You do too. You don't need a halo effect to look beautiful.
No, I don't, mate. No, I don't.
So, have you seen any cool horror stuff recently, other than The Omen, which we'll get into?
Other than The Omen? I haven't. You know what? I haven't watched any horror this week. I am anticipating a film called The Ritual, which I believe comes out on Friday the 13th, which is this week.
Rafe Spall in it.
Yeah, which looks very interesting. So some hikers go into like a Scandinavian forest and... Yeah. It looks unique. It looks like it's got some comedy elements in it as well.
I saw the trailer. I couldn't tell what tone they were going for because it seemed to be like a horror comedy, and then it seemed to have like actual full on horror Blair Witch moments to it.
Yeah, so it looks like it's a bit of a tongue in cheek sort of take on that sort of film, but from what I could tell, still a horror and still like a pretty creepy one at that. So yeah, I'll watch that.
Rafe Spall is the. The guy from Shaun of the Dead, you've got red on you. The guy who works in the thing.
Exactly.
Most people don't seem to recognize that because he's now an incredibly handsome man. Like, he went from a you know, guy who worked in a little TV
puberty hit.
Yeah.
And you know, he became a handsome
and
devil.
And he's Timothy Spall's son. Timothy Spall from
And I don't want to be mean to Mr.
Timmy.
Tim. Yeah, but they don't look alike at all.
No, that's what I mean. Rafe pulled it out of the bag. I don't know what he did.
Timothy Spall looks like a Harry Redknapp. Yeah, I was gonna be really mean then, but because he's a great actor, so I won't be mean.
Nah.
Yeah, so I think I'm gonna see that. Have you watched any?
Me and Kat. Yeah. Well, so it was Clive Barker's birthday recently, so I shoved on.
Yeah.
Hellraiser 2. The cat to watch, and my fiance, not the cat.
For the cat to watch, and the cat just fell asleep.
Yeah, it doesn't hold up as well as I would have liked. I think the first one holds up a lot better than this one. It kind of just like it starts off kind of cool, but then the logic just goes out the window, and it makes really no sense. Was like about halfway through, and for the rest, when they go into hell, it kind of makes no sense at all. So that was kind of disappointing in a way, but it is what it is. And I also binge watched the first two seasons of Inside Number 9. Have you seen Inside Number 9?
Is this like a comedy with the guys from League of Gentlemen?
Yeah, Reese Shearsmith and Steve Pemberton. It's like an anthology TV show. They made. They say it is sort of a comedy, but it's also genuinely scary in places, genuinely like emotionally affected. It's really like the one of the best things I think I've seen on TV recently. It's like, it's, I don't understand why I don't didn't know about this before. Like every episode is like a weird little Hitchcockian sort of little story, and they've all got like a little twist in the end, and they're all really well done, and they're, the funny bits are like really funny, and the horror bits are kind of really horrible. Like it's just, it's really good. I definitely recommend anyone to watch that.
I don't, as far as I'm aware, I don't think I've seen it.
Where, no, did, where nobody did you watch? Has. Where did, it's on Netflix. Where, the first two seasons are on Netflix.
Netflix, okay.
Yeah, my friend at work, Ed, was just saying, I don't know why you of all people haven't watched it, and I watched it now, and I'm complete like, for, especially for us, you know, it's like with the other stories, it's like that, like it's an like a proper little stingy story sort of, and like there's there was one episode in season two where after we watched it, it was so genuinely emotionally affecting. I had to take a moment afterwards to like just gather myself and go, oh my God, Jesus Christ, that was amazing. Yeah, like, it's really good.
Oh, sweet. Yeah. I'll have to probably try and check it out then at some point. Yes. I've just thought one other thing I watched, not necessarily a horror as such, but Zodiac.
Is that the...
like 2007. So David Fincher, obviously about the Zodiac Killer in the 60s. So we've got Robert Downey Jr., Jake Gyllenhaal, and Mark Ruffalo trying to hunt down this Zodiac Killer.
Is it good? It's long. I can't remember.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's really good. Like, it's a really long, sprawling sort of like mystery that takes place over years and years and years, and shows how sort of these characters become obsessed with trying to find the truth behind the Zodiac Killer stuff. But one of the most harrowing murder sequences I think I've ever seen.
Really?
One that I really go, I gotta look away. It just feels so, it feels so real.
Yeah.
The way this killer like kills, well, like starts stabbing some people, but so pedestrian like, just like he's done it 100 times before. It just really, really affected me. It really made me feel like, oh God.
Ooh,
because it happens like in broad daylight as well. So that really made me maybe cringe, but yeah, it's a great film. I've seen it a few times.
Did you watch? Did you watch the new Channel Zero episode? It's on YouTube.
No, I haven't. I haven't got around to that yet. But that is on the list.
You just reminded me, just because there's a stabbing scene in the first season that I found really unnerving. Like, there's something about it that just really freaked me out.
It's just stabbings, man. It's just something so like visceral about somebody stabbing someone else.
I
stabbed.
When I worked at Pride Park Football Stadium, I met a guy who he had a big scar down like his side, and I asked what happened. He said, "Oh, I got stabbed." So he's walking home from like a pub one night, and he said a guy came up to him and he said he thought he punched him in the stomach, and he said it hurt, but he didn't realize, and he walked on, like just carried on walking, and he said he just sort of felt like his whole bottom half become really wet and warm, and then he just collapsed and fell on the floor.
That's horrible.
Yeah, it's really like
that is horrible. But also, when did you work at Pride Park Football Stadium?
Oh, well, you know, I was at university in Derby. I needed some money, and I worked at like those little places where you serve burgers and Bovril.
Yeah. who were the Derby County main men around about the time you were?
A guy who I actually know, but I completely forgot his name. Chris. What's his name? He plays for Celtic now, or Rangers, or you know, somewhere in Scotland.
Chris. The only one I can think of is Chris Sutton, but I don't know if he ever played for Derby.
Yeah, I will find out.
find out, because our listeners are definitely going to be hanging on.
Yeah.
What about Robbie Savage? Was he at Derby at this time?
No, but I met him. I worked at a petrol station. It's another one of my many jobs I had, and I served him.
There's so many good stories coming out today.
Yeah.
What was his hair like when you met him?
Tied up. Look at that. Oh. Fun thing.
Very nice.
Chris Commons.
I do know Chris Commons, yeah.
Yeah.
What about Paolo Wanchop?
I don't know. I have no idea. No, I'm not really massive into it, but...
too deep now.
I played football with Chris Commons when I was a kid. So he's from Mansfield. And he used to play with my cousin who played for Mansfield Stags. And we used to play football sometimes.
That's at least three phenomenal stories packed into like a minute and a half.
We got the stabbing. We got Chris.
Please save your stories for future episodes, because otherwise we're gonna have nothing to talk about.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's crack on with the actual episode today. So we're on episode 24. I mean, sorry, yeah. the 24th film. We're going down the list, and it is The Omen. Do you want to tell us a little bit about it? And this is the original. This is 1976. Yes. Well on the cliff. Right around the edge.
So The Omen is a 1976 British-American supernatural horror film directed by Richard Donner and written by David Seltzer. The film stars Gregory Peck, Lee Remick, David Warner, Harvey Spencer. Basically, it's listed absolutely everybody who's in the film here. So it's the first installment of The Omen franchise, and it concerns a young child replaced at birth by American Ambassador Robert Thorne, unbeknownst to his wife, after their son is stillborn. They are surrounded by mysterious and ominous deaths, unaware that the child, Damien, is the Antichrist, ooh, allegedly.
Okay, this is what the Empire film students had to say about it. Boys, eh? Muddy-kneed, conker-smashing little blighters all running around and falling over, and in Richard Donner's timeless chiller, turning out to be the Antichrist. The unwitting adoption of devil child Damien, played by Harvey Spencer Stevens, has horrifying consequences for parents Gregory Peck and Lee Remick in one of the bleakest collisions of faith, religion and superstition in the genre. It's not held in quite the same critical esteem as The Exorcist or Rosemary's Baby these days, but make no mistake, The Omen is still a powerful potion. Nice. That's probably one of the better written of those descriptions. I quite enjoyed saying it.
I like all of those descriptions. I think they're all written very well. I liked your tone during, though. Your delivery was perfect. It's really set the mood.
Thank you. Okay. 86% on Rotten Tomatoes, 7.6 on IMDb. We asked the Facebook group what they thought about it. Kev Hurst said, David Warner's death scene is my all-time favourite horror movie death.
oh, Joe, I completely forgot about that. And when it happened, I was literally like, oh my God.
It's one of the only things I remember from like when I watched it growing up is that scene.
I didn't remember it. I think I've only ever seen that. I've seen that scene before, but I've never seen this film. I've never seen this film before.
Yeah, okay. And Andy Conduit Turner, the good old Andy CT, said, it's the reason I don't fuck around any place that people are unloading huge panes of gas, gas and glass or have any children. yeah, it's one of the reasons I don't have children, I guess.
There's a lot of you can come away from this film and have a list of things you never want to be involved in ever again.
Yeah.
Like don't keep Rottweilers hanging around, Jesus.
No. Or nannies.
Nah, I don't have a nanny.
Or just antichrists.
or antichrists.
Yeah. Okay, so initial thoughts, dude. What did you So you've not seen it before? You've seen the remake?
I haven't seen the remake. I don't think I've seen any of the sequels. I'm pretty familiar with this film just because it's one of those all-time sort of classics, isn't it? So I think I've always seen it on things like countdown lists and stuff. But I think because I've always been like such a huge fan of The Exorcist, that's always been like one of my favorite.
So how does this compare to The Exorcist for you? Because this is within 3 years of like coming out at the same time.
I mean, it is completely different. I mean, Exorcist is all body horror and shock tactics and all that stuff. This is obviously if you heard the concept of this, which is it's a kid who's basically the devil, you'd expect to see a lot of the kid
being a devil
doing crazy shit, being a devil. But he's very much like he's just a lovely little boy, isn't he? I mean, he doesn't mean no harm.
Where the kid is bratty. And that's about it. Like, it gets to bratty. Like, it never gets to, like, Antichrist levels. But I know this film is like, there's no, like, oh, and there's an evil thing who comes to get you. It's like, no, there's a kid who looks at you, and then there's some really scary music. And then you're dying somewhere,
And then you're dead. Exactly. I mean, but I think from watching it, in terms of the music, in terms of performances, in terms of, like, all the visuals and all the classic stuff that I've obviously seen before of, like, all the classic scenes of certain deaths and stuff, I think it holds up. It does hold up really well, and I think it's genuinely pretty scary.
Yeah,
and genuinely pretty tense and pretty shocking. And obviously, all the elements of it being like, it's not just like family have a Antichrist kid, all these bad things start happening. It is a bit like a bit of a mystery as well, like trying to hunt down sort of.
Yeah, it's got a whole detective element to it.
Yeah, all the whole detective element to it. And then I think when certain deaths happen, they do feel shocking. Like, you don't necessarily feel like you expect them. But
it's a bit of a Final Destination vibe to the deaths, I think. Like, you're kind of looking for the way they're setting up.
Someone's definitely died by pane of glass in Final Destination as well, I'm pretty sure.
Probably, yeah.
Flattened, yeah. I believe.
Definitely been impaled by something.
Yeah, there was some impaling in this.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think if you're going to compare it to... I mean, I preferred, in terms of the vibe, like, it was quite shocking. It wasn't... It was quite scary. There was sort of like an uneasiness that was like throughout, yeah. Wasn't it, really?
Yeah.
And I kind of... because of like The Exorcist so much, and because of the sort of what the time period this film came out, I did keep expecting him to do something a bit mental at any point.
Yeah,
I didn't expect his head to spin round.
Even if there was a bit of a Rosemary's Baby sort of thing happen, you know, where like you don't see him, but like you see his like hoofed feet or something. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
just if it's to show that there's something more happening. But yeah. It doesn't. Have you seen any of the sequels? No, obviously not. But the sequels
No, I've not.
Sam Neill plays the older version of him, but it's really good. I remember really enjoying it anyway.
I don't think I even knew there was a remake.
Yeah, that really I didn't know about the remake. No.
That really passed me by.
Must have been shit. Yeah.
It must have been shit. So what? Yeah, so it was 2006.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe because I wasn't particularly into this film, obviously, because I hadn't seen it growing up or whatever. Maybe that's why the remake passed me by.
So, should we dive into the story a little bit?
Yeah. Let's dive head first. Balls deep.
Balls deep. So, key players, like I said, we've got Gregory Peck as this politician guy called Robert Thorne. He's the ambassador or something political. I don't get involved in that stuff.
He's the ambassador or something.
Yeah. Lee Remick, who plays his wife, Catherine Thorne. She has a baby. That's her role. David Warner plays a photographer, and I really quite liked him actually in this film. Billy Whitelaw plays Mrs. Baylock. She's the evil nanny, like Nanny McPhee, but evil. Harvey Stevens plays Damien. By the way, Damien wasn't an evil name before this film. Like, we kind of think of it now as like as an evil name, but I think this film kind of gave it that flavor.
Yeah, exactly. When anyone says, that's the film, I hadn't even seen this film, but even I know that Damien, if you know a Damien, I mean, he's not
evil.
Good...
Don't hang around Damien.
Don't hang around with a Damien. Get as far away from him as possible, especially if there's Rottweilers knocking about.
He'll get you involved in the bad stuff. Drugs and weed and stuff. Patrick Troughton plays Father Brennan. He's like a... I think it reveals later on, but he's kind of like a high father. And he's sinned.
He's high.
Yeah. He's off his rocker. So we start in Rome. It's we've got some crazy music. The music for me is the star of the show. I think I just think it's like the most epic. It's the kind of music... Whenever I see a tall building now, I think of this music. Like I'm looking at the tall building, like a skyscraper, and I just hear like that sort of horrible choir, evil choir.
That's the music that plays when I'm like walking for the bus, and I can see the bus coming, but I know I'm never going to make it for that bus.
Yeah. Okay, so we find out a child is dead. Basically, Gregory Peck's real son, his wife has just been giving birth, but the child died in birth. But his father says, it's not like a normal hospital. This is apparently in Rome, they have like religious church hospital places. I don't know.
Yeah, where nuns are just milling about and going, look, there's a load of babies here. You can have whichever one you want, really.
Yeah. See, so the father says, look, I know you've lost that one. I'm sorry about that. Like, we've got one in the back.
That's pretty much what it is.
It's not it's brand new, never been used, but he is opened. Like, it's
never been used, but he is opened, and he's got 666 on his head.
Yeah. Yeah, he has got a serial number already, I'm afraid. Yeah, it's weird. So, and then he says, like, look, you can take this baby, just don't tell your wife about it, she won't know. I found that's not a way to start like a any sort of life, because that child's going to grow up to be 18. At some point, it's going to come out that you lied to your wife, that it's her son.
Just play ignorant, isn't it? Just go like, what? How's that happen then?
You had a DNA test for it?
So what? So did she just not know that the baby was stillborn?
No, she didn't know. Didn't know.
What was she doing? Asleep.
Oh. Yeah, I guess so, yeah.
She just didn't look.
Didn't show us.
Baby came out and she went, yeah, whatever.
Yeah. Okay, so Robert says, all right, yeah, sure. There's a discount. And he gets this other baby. And I think it cuts at some point. He says, all right, we've got a baby now. We're going to move to England or something. I mean, Damien's a little bit older.
Yeah.
He's got hair. And
did you enjoy the montage of Damien growing from being a young boy?
Was there a montage? Oh, yeah, no, there was. And it reminded me of the house from, what was the Don't Look Now house? It looked super similar.
Yeah, it did. But yeah, a montage, and rather than being a montage of like clips of him doing stuff, it was just photos, wasn't it? Different photos of him in different outfits.
Yeah.
To some funky music of him growing up and becoming a real devil boy.
I've got to say, Damien looks a lot like my nephew, Freddie. Like, he's got the same face.
I'm telling you. Does he smile at you?
He breaks the fourth wall in the end. I need to just check Freddie's hair just to make sure.
Yeah, yeah, just cut a bit of his hair off. What are you doing? What are you doing, Luke? Checking. Nothing. Just doing his hair. Just
playing hairdressers. Yeah.
Yeah, so there's obviously a bit where when they got their new house living in England, they're walking along next to the river at one point, and suddenly Damien vanishes. I mean, he's decked out all in white knitted wear, and suddenly he just turns up behind a tree. He's like, "Hey,
I've got evil powers.
I've got evil powers, mate."
Yeah. By the way, I'm the devil.
By the way, I am definitely the devil.
Yeah. So I guess they sort of crack on with normal life. They're in London now. What's his name's got a highfalutin job as the ambassador. I don't understand. Is he supposed to be like American? Because he's got like a thingy accent. What do you call it?
He's got what accent?
Did he call it like it's like a non-regional? It's like a newscaster's accent.
I think he's supposed to be American, yeah. But he's one of those guys who's got like a well-to-do sort of accent, which you kind of found in older films, didn't you?
Yeah.
Even like American characters, like some of them. Like,
I need to find out what that's called. Yeah, because even like the women, I think they said had to basically iron out any sort of, you know, unusual accent quirks to sort of so people all over America could sort of sympathize with her. But okay, so then things start to go a little bit weird when
just a little bit weird.
They're having a big birthday party, and then her nanny thinks she'll throw herself off like the building and like hang herself. Bit of a cool party trick, I suppose.
Yeah, I mean, she was showing off, really, wasn't she? So, yeah, she obviously before she decides to hang herself, she does see the Rottweiler sort of just milling about. And then she sort of has a look at the Rottweiler, looks a little bit scared. And then suddenly the next scene, she's at the top of the house and she hangs herself.
Yeah.
And I thought
scary dog.
Some people in this birthday party reacted in like a normal way. They reacted how you would react if someone just hung themselves, like horrified, terrified. But other people were just like, oh, bloody hell, go and sort that out. Bloody attention seeking. Oh, what an inconvenience for everybody else.
Yeah, the guy who's bringing out the sausage rolls is like, oh, put these back then, shall I?
Oh, this is ruined. Did all my hard work. Yeah. I hand-rolled these this morning.
The best ones fresh out of the oven.
And no one's gonna have an appetite now. And then someone did. They went, oh, I'll have them then.
Yeah, and then he flicked off the woman who's hanging. You fucking... And then he munched on a sausage roll and went back inside. Okay. And then, so what happens? So,
we've got they end up trying to go to a church at some point as well.
Yes, yeah. They try to take Damien to the church.
What was that for? What was the event?
Someone else's wedding.
Someone else's wedding, yeah. And Damien acted how I act when I've got to go work in the morning. that's me in the car just before I'm about to get out and go, yeah, do it.
Drive on! Drive on!
To be fair though, like, if a kid acted like that, you wouldn't like cancel your appearance at the wedding, or you would, do you know what I mean?
Well,
you wouldn't just go.
I think he beat up his mum, didn't he? He sort of like jumped on her, sort of pulling on her hair and stuff.
Yeah.
And then we got the zoo bit after that.
Yeah, there's a zoo scene. So they've gone, right, I know last time we went out you pulled all my hair out, but I'm going to take you on a lovely trip to the zoo.
Treat. Yeah. for your last performance.
I mean, I think what's quite creepy about Damien is like he don't really say much, does he?
He says
he's kind of like,
"Hello, Daddy," and
"All right, mate." But like, but like 5-year-olds,
yeah,
like they are quite chatty. They ask a lot of questions, but like Damien's, he seems to be,
yeah, he's in his head. He's constantly plotting the end of the
and
world.
And he's like, he's a little, he seems like a little happy-go-lucky sort of chap, and he's got a little smile on his face most of the time. Quite inquisitive,
yeah,
but you know,
never seems like particularly evil apart from like the things around him.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. Like how he reacts to thing, evil things happening around him, he kind of just goes like, "Oh well."
Yeah, yeah.
I'll get on with my life now, then, will I?
So they go to the zoo, and Damien's looking at the giraffes, and then the giraffe run away because I don't know why.
Don't you love it? Stuff like this in films where you think, how did they make that happen?
They must have just like, "Ooga booga." Like, and the giraffes are trying, like, getting to like, run away. Ooga booga.
Okay, now film the lovely giraffe.
That's a pretty good impression. That was a pretty good impression of Tasmanian Devil.
The giraffes just fucked right off, didn't they? They just run off. And then, I like how his mum was just like, "That's a bit weird."
Yeah.
Giraffes terrified of my son.
Yeah.
I wonder what a giraffe would think. Like, imagine, just put yourself in the body of those giraffes. What do you reckon they were thinking? And they're just going, "Oh, I have a lovely bit of grass there, a lovely bit of leaf." And he looked down and went, "Fucking Antichrist!" Ran away.
Yeah, like what like abstract concepts are they thinking is happening?
Yeah. Yeah.
It must be like a bad smell. Like, they could smell like the evil or something, don't they? But then like the baboons, they go for like one of drive through babooneries.
This is horrible.
That's the technical term for that.
It's like a worse nightmare.
Yeah. And they go
through... Did you say drive-through babooneries?
Yeah. They go into the drive-through baboonery and the baboons... It's a really good word to say. The baboons bark. The baboons bark at the boy. At the bad boy. But the baboons bark at the bad boy and in the car. In the Bugatti. And I don't know if it was Bugatti, it's a car. And so the baboons are going crazy, trying to attack the car. I think the mum is like screaming, like she can't handle it. It's too many red asses running around. Like, too many red cheeks flapping about against the car windows. Did he break any of the windows? I don't even know. I can't remember. Or did he just drive off?
Yeah.
Thing is, Damien has got like really like ruddy red cheeks. I think they got angry because they saw like his his smiling ruddy cheeks and were like, "Oh, they thought they were looking at something, you know, much something got them fired up." Anyway, is what I'm saying.
They thought the boy's red cheeks were a baboon's ass. Is that what you're saying?
Pert baboon's bottom, yeah.
Oh, I'm actually crying. What got me there was the baboons bark at the bad boy. baboons are terrifying. I mean, like, no one wants to get on the wrong side of them, but, you know, they're going apeshit.
Yeah.
Quite literally.
Yeah. So then we cut to a scene where Father Brennan, who's the high priest, the high priest of wherever, like, I don't know what you call him, but he goes to see what's Robert Thorn, Gregory Peck's character. Robert Thorn, the ambassador guy, the dad.
Yeah, his name is
Robert Thorn.
Robert Thorn.
Okay, yeah. So Robert Thorn's at work. He's doing his ambassadorial duties, whatever they are.
Yeah, he doesn't seem to be doing much. I mean, he's sharpening a pencil or something, isn't he?
Yeah, he's playing solitaire on his computer. Minesweeper, and then the Father Brennan turns up and he says, thing is, Father Brennan, like, he doesn't do this in the best way. Like,
no.
If you're going to go up to a guy and say, "You're going to have to kill your kid," you don't go in and go, "Your boy's the devil."
Why did he think his boy was the devil? Based on what? The giraffe.
Father Brennan, I think Father Brennan was actually working, he was an apostate. Like a devil apostate.
but the problem is, he seems hysterical from the word go.
Yeah.
You know,
he's come out of Father Ted. Like, he is. Yeah.
if you genuinely thought the Antichrist was knocking about, you might be like, "Oh, it's a bit mad going in and just telling his mum and dad that his, their son's the Antichrist. So maybe I need to just be a bit more tactful about it. But he doesn't seem to bother. He just basically just goes in and goes, your son's the bloody Antichrist. You got to sort him out.
Yeah, you can always imagine, him with a hip flask, with like sort of slapping it about, burping in Robert's face.
Kill him. There's no other option other than kill him. Kill your own son.
Yeah, you need to build up to that. Like, even if you do want, even if that's like what has to happen, you have to say, Robert, let me take you out to for a scone. We're going to talk about this.
Or say something like, have you noticed anything strange about your son? Yeah, this. Well, bring him to the church and we'll sort him out. And then kill him.
Yeah. By the way, I've got some knives. Do you want to fancy a stab?
Anyone fancy a stabbing?
Yeah. You see, there's better ways, but he goes in there and he's like a raving lunatic. And quite rightly, Robert says, F off and get out.
Why don't you flip the flip off?
But he does say Bugenhagen a lot. There's a case coming out with his work called Bugenhagen, which I don't really know what it means at the time, but Father Brennan, every now and again he just says Bugenhagen.
Bugenhagen.
You got to go see Bugenhagen.
What is that?
It's a guy later on who has the knives.
Yeah, that's right.
Bugenhagen.
Big bad Bugenhagen.
Yeah.
With the baboons barking at the bad boy.
Okay, so my notes here are skipping a fair bit because I've got the next bit is Brennan gets killed, but I'm sure there's a little bit before.
Yeah, I think there's just a bit now where Robert, Catherine basically tells Robert that she's pregnant.
She's pregnant again, yeah. Okay, yeah.
Jesus Christ, keep it in your pants, Robert Fulmer.
Yeah. So she says she doesn't want a baby. Right, yeah, so thingy, Father Brennan says to him, your wife's going to be pregnant again, but Demi won't let the boy live. And he doesn't know that she's pregnant again, but then she tells him he is. And then she says she wants an abortion. And Robert's like saying, I don't want to get an abortion because Father Brennan has already said that would happen. And he wants to kind of prove him wrong to prove
childish.
That, yeah, I know.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Childish Mitch.
I'm going to prove you wrong, Father Brennan.
Yeah. I'm going to have this kid. I'm going to raise it against my wife's wishes.
Against your wife's wishes. And then, 20 years down the line, we'll see who really wins.
See who's got the last... Oh, he's dead.
Oh, he's dead. Yeah. Lightning's going to get him.
He died literally the next... later that day.
Bloody hell. If only I knew, I wouldn't have had the kid.
Yeah. Don't worry. I fucking hate kids. Okay, so they don't want the kid, but then I think Father Brennan at some point, so basically, oh yeah, at the same time the photographer guy, he keeps taking pictures of the father every time he sees him.
Yeah,
he keeps developing his pictures, and he keeps seeing...
So the photographer guy was there at the birthday party as well when the nanny died, so he took a photo of her corpse.
Yeah.
Which, you know, you would do, you know, if that just happened.
Yeah,
just take a photo of the corpse. Makes sense.
Yeah. And he's as he's developing these pictures, he's noticing like a strange shadow going into Father Brennan on each and every picture. So then a little bit later on, Father Brennan is out of the church, and then the music starts, and as soon as the music starts, you know something bad's gonna happen. We get some storms, some windy noises.
This is basically what happens here is he gets chased by the wind, in M. Night Shyamalan's The Happening, when there's actually a scene in that where Mark Wahlberg. Well, there's a scene in it where Mark Wahlberg and the other heroes and good guy characters run away from the wind.
Like evil pollen or something.
It's just like evil
I
pollen.
I understand.
So they see some wind coming, obviously, because you just see the wind coming. There comes the wind. Here it comes. And then they run from the wind. Not only do they run from the wind, they outrun the wind.
That's impossible, isn't it? Is it? I think it's impossible.
How would you even know it's coming?
I mean, you could get a paper airplane, throw it, and then if you can sort of stay ahead of it, do you know what I mean? Because it doesn't make any it doesn't make any sense. Unless you had like a daisy. Is it a daisy? Daffodil. Blow it, and then run ahead of the seeds. Like, there is no way to do it, really.
Is there a way to run away from the wind? It's like going, oh. It's like run away. Yeah, nonsense. Yeah. Anyway, so this is pretty much what happens.
Yeah.
Father Brennan runs away from the wind, and the lightning is trying to get him as well.
Yeah.
And he tries to get into the church for some reason.
Doors are locked.
Doors are locked. Who's locked the doors?
Yeah.
And then we get a classic. Obviously, the lightning hits the top of the church, hits like a pole, flagpole.
It's a lightning rod.
Lightning rod,
yeah,
obviously, yeah. And the lightning rod does its job, attracts the lightning, but then the lightning rod falls onto Father Brennan and impels him like from the shoulder through his body down to the ground.
It's quite effective. The way the music suddenly stops, you get like a nice thunk, like a thunk sort of sound, like a cartoon wobble.
So I think around about now is when Robert returns, and this is when he's told by his wife that she's pregnant, I think. But then the photographer turns up, I think, and says to Robert, "I've got to show you these photos. They're filthy. I've got to show you these photos." And that's when he shows. That's when he shows in the photos of Father Brennan with the odd, ominous shadow.
Yeah.
But he also believes Damien's a threat, because I think at this point, Robert Thorne is starting to believe something is up with Damien. He is a bit of a nutcase.
Yeah, well, the Father Brennan's, especially the way he died, I think, because I think he has like a newspaper figure of it. He's onto Damien. He's onto something anyway.
He's onto him.
So the photographer, I can't remember his name. Jennings. If he's credited as Jennings. Okay.
Keith Jennings.
Keith Jennings.
That's a good solid name.
Rockstar. Hello? Name.
Sorry, what's that? Keith Jennings.
Hello, I'm Keith Jennings.
Yeah. The name's Keith Jennings. here's Keith Jennings talking about his favourite songs.
Yeah. He has the look and the feel of like a sort of 70s burgeoning rock star as well, I think.
Yeah. Mick Jagger type.
Yeah. So he says, look at these fathers. Look at these photos of the father. There's got a shadow there. That's where he's got impaled. Weird, isn't it? I also went round to the father's house, and then he's got like all of Father Brennan's notes. And he said, I accidentally took a picture of myself in the mirror, and there's like a big sort of shadow across his neck. So, and then some evil music plays, and it's like, oh.
I accidentally took a photo of myself. Whoops.
Yeah. and then, so I think it's this point, they just rock over to Rome, right? They just pop over back over.
Yeah, they just go over to Rome to investigate Mr. Damien's birth.
Yeah.
And then find out there's like a fire which destroyed the hospital records.
Yes.
And most of the staff died in the fire as well. Is that what we also find out?
A lot of them died. The father who at the start of the film did the whole baby swapping deal. He's alive, but he's badly hurt, and he's in this other place where fathers go to die.
Yeah, and he's like paralyzed, and he's got like he's blind as well in just one eye, and he looks a little bit worse for wear, doesn't he? Yeah. Bless him.
There's a point where I'm sure a taxi driver kept asking for a cappuccino. Don't know why. Did you get that?
What was this?
There's a bit where the taxi driver keeps asking for a cappuccino.
Cappuccino.
Yeah, I don't know. When he asked him to take him to the hospital, and he kept going, oh, "Have you got a cappuccino?
Have you got cappuccino?"
It's almost like the actor didn't know any Italian, and went, "Just say some like Italian sounding stuff." And he went, "All right, cappuccino."
Cappuccino.
Yeah.
Cappuccino. What are you? Are you an Italian actor? Yes, I'm a cappuccino. Paolo Maldini. So yeah, so they go to the cemetery to look for apparently Damien's biological mother's buried, and they find a dog carcass in the grave.
Yeah, so they open that cage grave, and they find a skeleton of I think it's meant to be a jackal. I just thought they'd put that there instead of the mother's body.
Yeah.
But looking into it afterwards, I think the whole thing is that he was actually born from a jackal or born from a dog or something.
Well, that's odd. Yes. I like it. They're trying to be really careful with the grave, and then they just smash it. Just gets smashed in half.
Yeah.
But obviously there's a child's grave next to it with a child's skeleton.
And it's been it's got a big hole in its skull. So it's obviously been bashed as soon as it's born. So then we find out that Robert's baby has just been murdered right from the get-go, and it's all been sort of set up in a way that he's going to take this Damien baby.
Murder so he'd take its place, yeah. That's annoying, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. At some point around here, the mum has an accident, right? So back in England.
Yeah.
Back
in England. Yeah, of course. Yeah. Of course, yeah. So she's sort of she's over the sort of landing. Quite a long drop. Is she doing something to a light or a chandelier or something?
Yeah, just piddling about with the ceiling tiles.
And this is another classic kid on a trike thing, obviously very reminiscent of The Shining.
Yeah, I got that. And it's squeaking away. He just sort of rides right into his... It's kind of creepy. The music, again, is sort of... I just feel like all you need in this film is some music and then something kind of mundane happening. And it's something bad's going to go. He just rides into the mum's stool. Did you think the fall was weird? She kind of fell off.
Yeah, she kind of fell, but then held on. But then, because she was holding on, it wasn't really that far to drop.
Yeah.
Was it? Because she was holding on and then hanging down. Really, she would only have been a few feet off the floor. fell.
Yeah.
Kind of fell and landed on her front. It was filmed in such a way where it was directly above her.
I didn't understand how they filmed it because it looked so odd.
There was no impact. It was like someone slowly being lowered onto
a gym. Some really strong guy had hold of her feet and just sort of lowering down. And she just had a flat,
planking. She just initially fell from where she was standing and kind of flipped over the landing and landed on her back or something. It would have been It would have been super impactful, but she kind of fell and hung.
She doesn't know how to fall. It's a skill, apparently, to learn how to fall. But anyway, so it cuts to her on the floor and she's bleeding. Hospital, ambulance people pick her up. And then we find out that she's lost the baby. At some point, the nanny, evil Nanny McPhee, comes to the hospital to see her. And then... pushes her out the window. I think we're getting the timelines a little bit mixed up here, but I think
Pushes her out the window. She lands onto an ambulance, dead. That was quite a good visual when she landed through the ambulance, kind of landed on the gurney and then sort of spilled out the back.
Yeah,
that was pretty cool.
How did the Nanny McPhee get away with that?
I don't know.
Even if it's before CCTV, they saw her, the nurses let her go up, so they would have known if she went in there, and then seconds later. The woman was thrown out the window.
Well, she's evil, so maybe she did some sort of evil mind trick. Jedi
maybe.
Mind.
Yeah, yeah. In the Omen 3, you kind of find out that there's a lot of these apostate people. So maybe there is more than we know of in this film. Because in this film, we only see two or three.
Yeah.
And then there's the dogs.
So going back to dogs, obviously, back in the cemetery, Robert and Keith, when they're trying to get out of the cemetery, they get attacked by loads of Rottweiler dogs. How many of them are there?
Five.
This was while this was happening, I was they're not, if that was real, they're not getting away.
No, I was thinking that as well.
These dogs are trying to kill them.
They would rip them to pieces, yeah. It's back in ancient Rome, you throw your slave to the dogs. The slave wouldn't just get away with a few cuts, they'd be dead. The throats would be ripped out,
Yeah, so these Rottweilers attack Keith and Robert, and they do manage to escape in the end. They kind of jump out. Obviously, Robert jumps out and does he impale his arm on something?
Yeah, he impales his arm on the metal fence. Yeah,
yeah.
But he seems fine after he takes it off. After he takes it off the fence,
Yeah, he's fine. He takes it off the fence and he just rubs it bare. And then he's completely fine.
Yeah.
So yeah, obviously then Robert gets obviously the news about his wife being dead. Is that right about then?
Yeah, so at this point he gets the phone call and we cut a little bit further and then Robert's like, she's dead. They killed my wife. They killed my baby. I want Damien to be dead too. So he's finally sort of come around to it and he wants to do it. Then they go see Bugenhagen. Who's this?
Yeah.
I really don't understand who Bugenhagen is, other than the fact that he knows about Damien being the Antichrist.
He knows all about the Antichrist, yeah. So he's like some sort of archaeologist, expert on the Antichrist. He's been studying Antichrist for years.
He's got a
He loves the Antichrist. He got all the Antichrist on box sets.
He's got a YouTube essay video series, Damien the Antichrist, let's kill him. Yep.
So he explains that Damien's got the birthmark, the three sixes.
Yeah.
On his head, on his bonts. I like how they say that, but it's like no one noticed it when the baby was born.
Yeah. Yeah.
Also, he explains that the only way to kill Damien is with some mystical daggers.
Well, he says, he rolls out this big thing of like, I think it's like 7 or 8 of these. All the daggers look exactly the same. And he goes, this is the one that you use. You have to use this one first to kill the body. And then he puts it down, and I'm looking at him going, wait, which one was that? They look identical. He says, you have to use this one.
It's almost like,
this one.
You use this fork for the first course, and then this spoon, and then you work your way inwards with each course of 8 courses. There's 8 courses of daggers. Yeah. One, you stab him in the legs, and then stab him in the other leg, and then in the body, and then it's just like, so complicated.
He says, start with this one in the center of the body. That would kill the body, and then use the others and work outwards like so. And they're just in a big line. I'm thinking, that's not the shape of a baby. Like, what does he mean work outwards? Like,
also, I'd be like, oh, that's too much effort. He must have written it down.
I hope he had a little diagram.
Yeah,
yeah, he's probably done an ebook.
But doesn't Robert get? Then Robert sort of like just gets rid of the daggers at some point. Then he goes like, I can't murder a little boy with all these daggers.
Yeah, well, to be fair. Pretty harsh. I mean, even if this is the kid you like brought up as a kid, and
but then again, I guess we're made to understand that Robert feels like he's lost everything.
Yeah,
and if he really does genuinely blame Damien, then maybe he can bring himself to. But then obviously we get the famous Keith actually dies trying to retrieve the daggers.
Yeah.
Classic gets decapitated by a big sheet of glass.
Well, if you're not going to do it, Robert, I'm going to do it. And then he bends down to pick them up, and then it's like a Final Destination thing with the truck sort of backs.
Yeah.
And it is a pretty cool scene.
Reverses.
Yeah. Reversing.
Yeah, I liked it, especially the head flying off.
Yeah. And then we're sort of coming towards the end of it really now. So Robert has the knives, has the mission, has the target. Yeah.
It's just has a target. Time.
Yeah.
Mission Impossible.
He goes back to the house. And he's like humming the James Bond as he's going around the house. And he locks the dog. One of Rottweiler's in the basement. And he can't get out. Nice work, Robert. And then he gets attacked by the nanny, evil nanny.
Yeah, nanny's going apeshit at this point. I mean, she's really... He must really hate the fact that he's hired her, because she didn't seem like this in the interview. But she's homicidal, it would seem.
Yeah, super homicidal. I'm going to give you a negative rating on wherever the...
RapeMyNanny.com.
RapeMyNanny.com.
His ratings on RapeMyNanny.com so far. One committed suicide, one's trying to kill me.
Yeah. Maybe it's me.
Maybe it's me. No, yeah.
No, it's definitely ridiculous. The nannies.
Yeah. That's ridiculous. Definitely the nannies.
I'm the ambassador. Okay, so he had the proper scrap with Nanny McPhee. And then he kind of forks her in one side of the neck with a beef fork.
It's like a Bourne Identity fight scene. Just using any old shit. A rolled up magazine in the Bourne Identity, isn't it?
Was that
right,
the first one?
I think so. Yeah. Right, you've had it now. Tick, 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 tick.
Yeah. I used the biro or something in the Bourne, the first one. I remember going into someone's hand, and that was pretty grim. I don't know if he kills Nanny McPhee, but he gives her a good stabbing.
He stabs her in the shoulder, so you're assuming she wouldn't be dead.
And then he gets Damien, he says, right, you, we're off to church, and then he
I fucking hate church.
And then he takes Damien, he sort of holds him down. Fucking move, you little shit.
And then Damien obviously does the old, no, daddy, don't kill me.
Yeah. And he gets into the church and he's going to stab. I think at some point Damien gets knocked out, actually. I can't remember. Oh, he falls on him or something? I don't know. So Damien's knocked out cold and he's speeding and the police start chasing him. And they catch up with him and he's in the church. He's about to start the stabbing. He's like, which fucking knife is it? And
wish I paid attention.
Yeah. And then he goes to do it, and then he gets shot.
Yeah. So like, he obviously he goes to stop stabbing him, and then the police say stop or we'll shoot. But then obviously he's thinking, this is the Antichrist. The Antichrist got to go. But then even if he just stabs him once, what's he going to say to the police? Hang on a minute, I'll just stab my son to death, but I've got to continue stabbing him using various different knives. Six more knives for this. Could you wait and then possibly take me in then? Oh, yeah, we'll wait. We'll hang out here,
He's done the damage now. There's not much more damage you can do. Go on. Yeah.
And that's pretty much the end, because then we get like a funeral at the end of his mum and dad, and Damien just looks around, smiling like a kid who's
It's the president of the United States who adopted him. I don't know, it's a bit of a leap of faith here, like out of all of the film, like you find
is
out
is that real? What, so it's the president who's adopted him? What? Yeah.
Well, they say that, like, throughout the film they say that he's going to rise and conquer the eternal sea or something like that, Damien is, and they say that the eternal sea is actually the world of politics, so he's going to grow up and he's going to
is he the son of the president in the second one or so?
I think so, yeah. I can't remember. But I know in the third one, I think he maybe becomes the president in the third one. Like he takes some sort of world power role anyway. He's been adopted by the president of the United States, and he turns back and looks at the camera, and he breaks the fourth wall, has a little cheeky smile. And Bob's your uncle. Evil has won.
Evil has won. And obviously we get the little... And then the text at the end, which says, here is wisdom. Let him half understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. And the Iron Maiden song, Number of the Beast, starts.
666. Did you ever listen to the Billy Corgan cover of that? I don't think I did. Really, really fucking good. Yeah.
Was that done for the Omen remake?
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know what it was. Yeah. Okay. So Omen. Okay. So what are we thinking here?
Man.
So trivia. Are you ready?
Yep.
Okay. So question one. So to make the baboons attack the car in the Windsor Zoo park scene, an official from the zoo was in the back seat in the car, and he was giving him all the finger. True or false? True or false?
Oh, there's the bloody guy who works in the zoo in the back seat. What's he doing? That's the final straw. Yeah. That's the final straw. True. Yeah.
It's false. But the official was in the back seat, and they started off. They took the baby of the baboons, the baboon baby, and the baboons weren't bothered. So then they had to take the gang leader, like the Caesar of the baboons, and then that's what made all the apes go, or the baboons go crazy and sort of lose their shit. Yeah, it's weird. Okay, number two. Richard Donner's priority was not to make... I just included this because I quite like the terminology. Richard Donner's priority was not to make a crackerjack horror film, but a realistic portrayal of a family in crisis. True or false?
That damn crackerjack horror film. False. No, true.
True, yeah.
John, yeah. Changed the last minute.
Apparently he was going for more of a dramedy type thing, but failed spectacularly because it's a full-on horror film. Yeah.
Yeah.
He made one of them crackerjack horror films. I don't know what he means by that.
Run of the mill, maybe? I don't know.
Number three, when the fishbowl falls to the ground, they were actually dead sardines painted up with orange to look like goldfish. Since the director, Richard Donner, refused to kill goldfish.
Well, you wouldn't have to kill them. You just smash the bowl and then put them in a new bowl. All right, that's true. I can imagine that being true.
It's true, yeah. He said they want to kill goldfish for the sake of making a movie. Also, they only ate tofu for the entire film. We're going to film, I don't know.
Oh.
Okay.
No goldfish were harmed in the making of this.
Number four. You ready?
Yep.
So I think you've got like two. Give you three, why not? Okay, number four. The movie was originally going to be called The Birthmark. True or false?
It doesn't sound too ridiculous. True.
It's true. I thought you were going to say it's false. Yeah, they were going to call it The Birthmark for a long time before they came to the Omen.
They were going to call it Baboon's Bark at a Bad Boy in a Bugatti. And then they thought, no. So there's already a film called that, so they can't...
Birthmark makes it sound like the birthmark is the thing that's evil. Like it's going to start coming alive and attacking people. Yeah, maybe it is, yeah. Okay, number five. So it took a year for David Seltzer to write the entire script as he was too busy getting his middle name changed from Alka.
How long was that? If that was true, how long does it take? He was too busy getting his name changed, which took a year.
I don't know how long it took.
As much as I want that to be true, it's false, isn't it?
It is false. Well done.
You saw that when you were looking at it. You were like, oh, no, I've got some gold. I've got some gold for him.
Well, so it took him a year to write the entire script. I just added the little joke on the end, the little crackerjack joke on the
How
end.
How many times do you reckon he's heard that joke in his life?
Yeah. Almost as many times as I've heard people say, I am your father. That happens so many times. I bet you've not heard that before. No, the amount of people who say, I am your father, oh, I bet you get that a lot, don't you? And even people saying that, I bet you get that a lot. I've heard that so many times. It's like, there's no like version of this where you come out original.
No.
No, right. Okay, dude, what are you gonna grade The Omen?
I liked it a lot more than I thought I would. Ooh, I kind of
liking it.
What?
I'm just getting excited by you.
All right, I liked it a lot more than I thought I would.
Yeah.
It was pretty scary. I don't know if I go and watch any newer ones because I'm assuming they're not as good. The next Omen. And I probably won't watch the remake. But I think this is a pretty solid entry. Like, you can see why it's so high on the list. And why it's obviously... It's one of those films, for me, it kind of sometimes gets a bit lost under things like The Exorcist, The Shining, just because it kind of feels almost like it's part of both of those films.
Yeah.
For me, as someone who'd never seen it before. But yeah, I can see why it's such a good film. I'll probably give it a B.
Nice.
A B for
Bravo.
Baboon Barks at Bad Boy in Bugatti.
Birthmark.
Bad Boy with Birthmark in Bugatti.
Okay. So I think I have a soft spot for this film. I remember like watching...
A literal soft spot on your head, like a little baby soft spot?
It's a bold spot. The Bold Spot was another name they were going to give the film, but decided against it. I don't know. I've got memories of watching like all three of the trilogy with my friends, getting kind of drunk. We were a bit too young, and I just remember like, having a really good time. So I've got like a really good like soft spot for this film. But I think it has got its flaws. It's a little bit boring in some ways. Like, it doesn't have any sort of evil demon stuff happening. But I really liked it. I'm going to give it a B-.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Interesting.
Yeah. Does
that essentially mean I've rated the film higher than you?
Yeah.
It's a rare occasion.
I thought you were going to give it a C. Yeah.
It's a special occasion. I was dabbling with a C. It was one of those. I think after I watched it, immediately after, I was a bit like, yeah, I wasn't too into that. But I think giving it some more thought and sort of going into it in depth now, I remembered a lot about it. So
yeah,
I think it is very effective.
Yes,
creepy.
Yes.
Creepy child. See, because creepy kids in films really do my nut.
We've seen a lot of them as well. We've
seen a lot of them.
The Innocents.
But this one, it feels very, it doesn't feel overdone at all. It kind of feels like the evil kid element of it is very much like almost like kept in the background. Like, yeah, he's there and he's witnessing all these things, but it's not all, it doesn't seem to be all about him. You know what I mean?
I like.
He's kind of like,
the element I like about this film is the whole not conspiracy thing, but like secret cult thing happening underneath the world.
Stuff happening behind the scenes, yeah. So part of that makes you feel a little bit sorry for Damon. Damon? Damien.
Yeah.
For Damien.
Damon.
Feel a bit sorry for him, even if he is the Antichrist. Yeah. I just want to sit him down and have a chat with him and say, look, mate, if you're on the Antichrist, just tell me everything you know.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so next up, we've got number 24. That's 23. No, I'm losing count now. But,
I think we might be on number 23 now.
Ooh, and this is a film I've really been looking forward to. Suspiria by Dario Argento. And
yes.
I've only seen one Dario Argento film, and it was insane. It was a film called Demons. I don't know if you've seen that.
No.
It's where people go to a movie theater, and then they get locked in there, and like everyone starts turning into demons, and they're watching a film about demons attacking. It's insane. And by the time they get out of the movie theater at the end of the night, the world's become like this post-apocalyptic sort of world, and like there's like people riding on like motorbikes. Like,
how old is this?
I'm gonna say 80s.
Demons.
But I've heard a lot of good stuff about Suspiria, and it's the kind of film where people like, when you say, "Oh, I've never seen it," people go, "Oh, that's like one of the ones to watch," because it's so, apparently it's just so like beautifully crazy. So
I've never seen it. Another one of the classics, which on this list we're getting to see.
Yeah. 1985, Demons.
Just looking at some pictures of Demons, my God, it looks terrifying.
It's pretty cheesy. I saw it at the Dead and Breakfast, which is the, you know, thing in Derby. It's like the all night movie.
So you watch it in the cinema screen?
Yeah. Yeah, that's it's hard. Really good. Yeah.
Yeah, I might have to give this a go. I recognize some bits of it. I think, oh yeah, I've definitely seen some of these visuals before. Ooh. I don't think I'll watch it. I don't think I'll watch it on my own though. Terrifying.
Yeah. So I'm looking forward to that. And then after that.
Yeah. Well, if you get to see it, maybe we'll review The Ritual if it's any good.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Or if it's any bad, because you know.
Yeah. I don't think we've ever done a really bad film on this one. I guess The Void is a little bit disappointing. That's probably our like least favorite film I think we've rated.
Yeah, maybe some of the older ones as well that we weren't particularly fond of.
You weren't a big Hammer horror film guy. The more I've sort of like watched like histories of horror cinema and stuff, the more I've kind of realized I really should go back and give like Hammer horror films another go. And I really want to watch some like Roger Corman films and like Mask of the Red Death and all this kind of stuff. I feel like I was shortchanging him a little bit. I need to give him a bit of
more. I know what you mean. Yeah. All these things sound good, but I know for a fact if I did go back and watch all these films, I probably would be like, what am I doing? Just put Toy Story on.
Yeah, well, you can always put Toy Story on. Cool. Okay, man. So this show is brought to you by the Story Studio, Hawk and Cleaver. Head over to hawkandcleaver.com and grab a free book. Become a patron over at patreon.com/hawkandcleaver. Thanks to Kovac Kalman for our theme music. Thanks to Acast for hosting the show. Thanks to the listeners. Give us a 5-star rating review in iTunes. Remember to hit subscribe. Thanks to Acast for hosting the show. I don't know if I said that already. And go to facebook.com, search for Horror Hangout Board of Advisors and join a group there. And thanks to my co-host, Ben, for being a real horror dude.
Thank you, Luke.
Cool. Peace out.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.